Mark Plotkin, author of Tales of a Shaman's Apprentice, likened a rainforest village losing a shaman to a complete library burning down. Those words are perhaps truer today than even when they were spoken. Now, I've been pointed in the direction of another library of health in the person of Walter Last. He's a firm believer in first understanding purpose in our lives. His holistic vision, combined with nutrition and science, with a dash of spiritual understanding, makes him a very wise man. Walter's got quite a bit to share. His accent at times is thick, but most worthy of a fine-tuned listen. I'm Robin Clare. Stay tuned. This is Tributaries. Walter, thank you so much for joining us today. You're so literally hip. I know you've developed a program that you call Health Improvement Program, which is HIP for short, of course, but you've just got such wonderful information.
Yeah, I like the hip name connotation. What I am on about is that I found gradually that most of our diseases are really caused by one thing, and that is candida overgrowth starting in the intestines from antibiotic use. That can later branch out into many other disease forms, because once there is candida overgrowth damaging the gut lining, causing food particles that are only partially digested, and microbial toxins to go into the blood that devastates the immune system, and then all other kinds of bacteria and viruses can easily move in and cause many other diseases.
I wanted to ask you, before we get started into all of this, if you could please give us a bit about your background previous to your life's work in nutrition and healthcare.
I started out studying chemistry and branched into biochemistry and forensics, toxicology, air pollution research, worked mainly in Germany in medical university departments, research and so on, and also in Los Angeles in Bioscience Institute. But I found it very unsatisfactory. Somehow it didn't gel with me. That work was really not really my thing. So I started dropping out of the conventional scene and started working with natural method. I wasn't quite pleased with what I found in the natural field either. So I had to develop my own method and, you know, started writing about it. First from booklets and then into bigger books.
What pieces of biochemistry stand out in your journey into healthcare?
I probably was already originally very much interested in nutrition, but then, or how the body works, but then in my later work in universities, there wasn't really much going on in this kind. I worked mainly then in forensics and air pollution research. It wasn't really what I wanted. I was more into understanding how the body works and how diseases develop and how one can cure diseases. And all of that wasn't really practiced, and it was only with drugs, and there was no real understanding in the medical field. and even now there isn't. So that's why I dropped out.
You mentioned earlier that you weren't really satisfied with how the alternative medicine was doing at the time. And what was it that was dissatisfying for you and making you figure out something else?
Well, even the alternatives now are mainly interested in selling supplements, because that's what makes the money, you know, while I was more interested in the old-fashioned type of nature cure, which was more into eating natural foods, fasting, you know, fasting cures were very prominent then, or the water cures. So we're working mainly with water, sunshine, fasting, and so on, instead of what is now common, instead of fasting, now naturopaths and health food shops sell supplements or remedies to simulate fasting.
Yes.
You know? You understand what I mean?
Absolutely, yes, I do.
Money, but that is not in itself a problem, because of course people need to live, you know, they need to make money. But I didn't like it, you know. Have been better if there were methods in natural therapy make money by keeping people healthy instead of having to sell supplements. For instance, in my experience, the greatest remedy against inflammations, which are a problem causing most of the serious ramifications for all kinds of diseases, cancer and so on, the greatest remedy is sodium bicarbonate, much stronger anti-inflammatory than most medical drugs for that purpose. But you can't make any money from it. So they sell anti-inflammatory remedies, you know?
Yes, yes. Well, you have quite an astute understanding of the chain of events that brought us into this general state of health today. And before we get into some of your knowledge about various natural and basic remedies, I'm wondering if you would play medical anthropologist for us, for starters, and lead us into why most people's state of health is the way it is today.
Well, I became aware of it when I read about 30 years ago about the work of the Dr. Orion Truss, T-R-U-S-S. In 1953, he worked in an Alabama hospital and came across what looked like an elderly, dying man, but he was only in his 40s, and no specialist was able to make a diagnosis or help him in any way. Out of curiosity, Truss just asked when he was completely well and what happened, and the man said he was well until about 6 months ago, when he cut his finger and he received antibiotics, and then he developed diarrhea and his health continued deteriorating and was put in hospital, became debilitated, and now he was dying. And Truss had read somewhere before that glucose solution with iodine was good against candida and fungi. So he gave him a course of for 3 weeks of 30 drops a day, and the patient was completely well. That put Truss on the road to trying that same thing with other people. He had a female patient with stuffy nose, sinusitis, and gave Lugols to her, and all her problems, including depression, disappeared. And then he tried that with others, and patients with schizophrenia who had hundreds of electroshock treatments soon recovered, and so on. And he treated others who had multiple sclerosis, autoimmune diseases, Crohn's disease, lupus, and so on. And so he realized that really that was all a candida problem, which doesn't remain a candida problem because, as I said, all the other microbes move in, but glucose is always good for knocking out other microbes, not just candida. Then there was a Dr. William Crook who wrote books about treating children with hyperactivity. He wrote, his most famous one was The Yeast Connection in the 1980s. And the same thing was with asthma, or people develop asthma mostly after antibiotic treatment. Of course, nowadays, children, babies, get already the candida from the mother. Many mothers have candida, and then the children, the babies, get the microbes which the mother has in the birth canal. Or there are other doctors who found that treating secondary fungal infection also knocked out their leukemia. So children were cured of leukemia while treating their candida. The Dr. Milton Wright, who was a pathologist, found fungal spores in all cancer samples that he studied. There is a lot of evidence like that, but it goes even further. So the main chain of event which leads to this is that when we take antibiotics, especially broad-spectrum antibiotics, our normal gut flora is temporarily suppressed, and candida, which is a harmless normal microbe in our gut, takes over. But when it starts becoming the dominant species for a while, it can proliferate very quickly, and then it has pressure to spread out into other areas, and it changes from a harmless yeast form, which are just round cells, into an invasive fungal species with long pipes or threads invading the intestinal wall, and that causes inflammation in the intestinal wall and makes it permeable, which means only partly digested food particles and microbial toxins can go into the blood. That defining moment, which causes the immune system first to work overtime and then to become greatly weakened so that it can't attend to other infections. So, for instance, it has been found that normally, if we get a food poisoning, we may need a million of bad bacteria to cause a problem. But when we have candida overgrowth, then it may need only 10 to 100 bacteria from food poisoning to cause that problem.
That's amazing statistic, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes.
So, and from there, I found that combined then with other problems, especially mercury from tooth canal fillings or food canal fillings. But there is also another chain of evidence, and that was developed by, I found that only more recently, Dr. Shaw in the Great Plains Laboratory. He specialized in developing methods for specific chemicals produced by Candida, and those which cause the most damage are acetaldehyde, tartaric acid, and arabinose. So all of these go into the brain, but also into the muscles, and interrupt the energy-producing chain in our normal cells. So that groups of cells in muscles or in the brain can't produce sufficient energy. Tartaric acid, for instance, is also produced by yeasts in wine, and that interferes with one of our normal chemicals called malic acid in producing energy from oxidating glucose. So then that chain of oxidating our food to energy is blocked, then food energy is produced only by producing lactic acid, and that produces only about 20% of the energy which could be produced by oxidizing it. And on the other hand, it also makes the body extremely acid.
Yes, it's like an incomplete respiration at the cellular level, as though, you know, when we breathe in, for instance, it's like we just can't get enough oxygen into the cell, and then it creates more of a carbon monoxide rather than the carbon dioxide. Is that true? Or
it produces just lactic acid.
Yes.
The problem is, there is another kind of problem, that the oxygen which we breathe, which comes with hemoglobin, is only released in cells if the cells produce carbon dioxide. And carbon dioxide is produced by complete oxidation of food. So if glucose is completely oxidized, then we produce water and carbon dioxide. Is then carbon dioxide in the cells, which is carried away from the blood, and in response to the carbon dioxide, the blood releases oxygen, which helps to oxygenate the tissue. But because if there is an area, let's say a muscle or part of the brain, where the oxidative chain is blocked, that doesn't produce carbon dioxide, no oxygen is released, and these cells can't get to work again, and they always produce lactic acid. But there is a way of getting them to become normal again, and that is by taking either high amounts of vitamin C in the form of sodium ascorbate or MSM, which is a sulfur compound, a natural sulfur compound, or DMSO. And these are quite natural compounds. Vitamin C, MSM, and DMSO are naturally produced in plants, and we get them with our food, but in relatively small amounts. They don't help much in that way, but if we take them as supplement, they can get into cells. Like if you look at vitamin C, it can't get normally into the brain or into most cells as vitamin C, but only in oxidized form. And if we eat it, take it as a supplement, it can be oxidized by the blood circulating through the lungs, and there part of it is oxidized, and the oxidized vitamin C gets into the brain, and then inside these blocked cells, inside the cells where the metabolism is blocked, there are reducing substances and they reduce the oxidized vitamin C to the normal vitamin C, and in this process oxygen is released, and this oxygen partly it allows the normal oxygen production, and on the other hand it is at first released in an extremely reactive form which produces hydrogen peroxide, which knocks out any kind of bad microbes which may be in these cells. And this has now been found to very quickly normalize cancer cells, for instance.
So is that similar, Walter, to the sodium bicarbonate?
In a way, but different. Sodium bicarbonate doesn't in itself produce oxygen, but it has only recently been found that tumors only grow in an acidic environment. If the outside of the tumor is slightly alkaline, about pH 7.2 is slightly alkaline, then the tumor can't grow. But if it is below 7.2 on the outside of the tumor, then enzymes are released by the tumor which can dissolve the collagen in the tissue surrounding the tumor, and the tumor can further grow into the tissue. And so it has been found if sufficient sodium bicarbonate is taken, which is about, in this experiment, it was for a 70 kilo adult, about 3 teaspoons a day, then that made the tumor sufficiently alkaline that it couldn't grow.
I thought when I read one of your articles about cancer, you spoke about how chemo would destroy and weaken the tissue outside of a tumor, which was very detrimental to recreating a healthy situation.
The problem is always that the destroying tumor causes inflammation, makes the surroundings more acid. The main problem with most of our diseases, and especially then this destroying tumors, is inflammation. The inflammation causes most death in cancer. Even with natural cancer treatments, if a tumor is destroyed very quickly, then it causes extreme inflammation, which usually causes problems in the liver, and that's the cause of most people dying from the direct treatment of cancer. And bicarb in sufficiently high amounts completely suppresses inflammation.
I'm sorry, what suppresses the inflammation?
Sodium bicarbonate.
Yes.
If you have sufficient sodium bicarbonate to bring up the pH or alkalinity, the easiest to measure is the urine. So if you bring up the alkalinity to about pH 8, then basically all inflammation in the body is completely suppressed and tumors start to die. It is easier to get the lymph fluid to become very alkaline, but difficult to get it into the tumor. But if you take enough for a longer time to make the tumor alkaline, then if the pH in the tumor goes above about 7.5, 7.6, then the cancer cells in the tumor die.
What do you think about that Italian doctor?
He has good successes with this by infusing bicarb, but there are all the problems because Simoncini doesn't follow up his infusions with sodium bicarbonate treatment. Was, for instance, a case where he destroyed a tumor with sodium bicarbonate, but this infusion is only for a few hours, an hour a day. Then when the tumor was destroyed, strong inflammation developed,
Yes.
And the patient died, and so Simoncini had to go to court for that, and I think he lost his license. And similar with the Gerson therapy and other natural therapies, if you don't follow it up by keeping the body alkaline, then a destroyed tumor produces strong inflammation, no matter by which method it was destroyed.
If someone started to do chemo for their cancer, would you recommend they do? They were a 70 kilo adult. Would you say still do the 3 teaspoons daily of bicarbonate of soda?
Basically, yes. But I don't rely on these 3 teaspoons. I recommend checking the urine.
Yes, of course.
Which is easy to do.
Yes.
And if you keep your urine level above 7.5, then I believe you are protected from any danger from chemo. And the danger is not just that inflammation develops now, but chemo normally causes metastasis to develop, which only becomes apparent years after.
Yes.
So what I now recommend to prevent these metastasis from developing and problems from chemo to develop is taking at the same time sufficient bicarb to keep the urine above 7.5, but in addition, also approximately 10 grams of sodium ascorbate, which is the sodium form of vitamin C, and NSM. And these things together are reasonably sure to prevent any development of metastasis. So in this day, you don't get any problems in the future.
Yes, thank you. Another one of your articles, well, there are a couple more things I definitely want to cover today with you. You have such a great understanding of how everything works, and then also some wonderful information, especially, for instance, the whole boron story. You rightly entitled your article, "The Boron Conspiracy," and it's very aptly named. I wanted you all to know that Walter Last will share a lot more with us next week. For any guest information, to listen to archives, share resources, and sign up for weekly programming, it's tributariesradio.wordpress.com. And for podcasting on iTunes, it's Tributaries Radio. I'm Robin Clare. Thanks for staying tuned.